Covering the crew all season long on WTMJ. This is Brewers Extra Innings. Now live from American Family Field, here's your host, Dominic Catronio.
Brewers win. Open up a series with the Guardians in a pitcher's duel, 2-1. And the Brewers hit homers. Who'd have thunk it? How about the vulture win for Aaron Ashby, his 10th of the year on the mound? He is 10-0, leads baseball in wins. Bryce Terang and Garrett Mitchell go yard. By the way, while you're sitting here right now, go vote for Bryce Terang to be an all-star. It is unacceptable for him to be not in the top two in the first ballot update. Go vote right now. Vote right now. I'm talking to you. Go vote right now for Bryce Terang to be the starting second baseman for the National League in the All-Star game. There is absolutely no reason Bryson Stott should be ahead of him. None. Zero whatsoever. All right. Anyway, moving on. Brewers get the win. 2-1. I'm Dominic Catronio. 855-616-1620 is the phone number. 855-616-1620. If you want to join us here on the show, Jerry Augustine is with us once again. You know, Augie, when I look at today's line and I look at the box score, was it the prettiest offensive day? No. Was there epic performances up and down this lineup? No. But sometimes it's a reminder that while we can sometimes try to put, you know, a sugar coating on some of the offense and like, oh yeah, no, they can do all this stuff without homers. And then when you hit homers, it's just like, yeah, it's just kind of nice to see the ball go over the fence.
It really is. I'll tell you why. Terang has been swinging the bat so well. You know, you're just talking about voting all-star. I think he's the best second baseman in all of baseball, the way he's performed this year, the way he's swinging the bat, the way he's playing strong defense and coming up with the big home run in the fourth inning. And then, you know, Cleveland comes, scores a run, we answer right away. Garrett Mitchell comes right back, hits his fifth home run, starting to swing the bat pretty good. It's good to see Garrett swinging the bat, playing healthy and getting some games in. You know, he's been each and every year he goes through this injury phase. This year he's been able to stay away from it, and I'll tell you what, he's really doing a nice job for the ball club.
When I look at what the Brewers do well, and when I look at what makes them such a tough offense to face, and even, again, tonight, despite not scoring a ton of runs, they went 0-for-3 with runners in scoring position. Bowers had a quiet night offensively. But yet, when I look at it, the one column that jumps out to me is 5 strikeouts. 28 at-bats, just 5 strikeouts today for the Brewers. I know there wasn't a lot of offense in this game, but we talk about it over and over again, how often the ball is in play against the Brewers. And it's a redeeming quality that a lot of teams just don't seem to have these days. And the Brewers kind of hit the jackpot today of both hitting homers and avoiding strikeouts. The Brewers are in the bottom five in all of baseball in avoiding strikeouts, as in they have the fewest total, along with these Cleveland Guardians, who, oh, by the way, struck out 11 times tonight. And that might have been the difference of the game.
It could have been very well been the difference in the ball game. You know, you look at what the Brewers have been able to do and, you know, go up against a good, strong pitcher. You know, when you play Cleveland, Cleveland's like you're matching, you're almost playing yourselves, to be honest with you. They have good, strong pitching. They swing the bat a little bit, and they have a really good defense and have a good bullpen. So you're going up against a guy today, Sassoni, who threw the ball. I thought threw the ball really well today against the Brewer hitters. And then Gasser, I thought the whole key to Gasser's game was that second inning, getting himself into trouble. Chris Hook goes out, talks to him a little bit, comes back, gets a strikeout, double play. I thought that was the whole key to ball game for Gasser, getting through that inning. It seemed after that, he found himself and he really pitched well.
Yeah, we'll talk more about Gasser in the second segment of the program, too. But then when I look at the offense tonight, the two guys that supply all of the runs, of course, are Bryce Terang and Garrett Mitchell. And I tell you what, if you tell somebody back in 2022, as these guys were on their way up in the farm, of course, Garrett would make his big league debut in 2022. Bryce would make the team in 2023. That, hey, you know, a couple years later, these two dudes, as they are the middle of this order, that are the key pieces of the offense, you think, oh yeah, that's great. Now, there are bumps and bruises and, you know, tribulations along the way for both of these guys, but to think and let our mind wander for a moment, Augie, about a homegrown duo that is Garrett Mitchell and Bryce Terang, they're under team control for another 2 full seasons together, okay? So they're not going anywhere as things stand right now. And I know the Brewers signed Luis Lara, and the way I look at it, I think Pat Murphy said it really well earlier today in regards to Cooper Pratt, and we will talk about Cooper today, is, hey, if you don't want pressure, if you don't want somebody always wanting to take your job, you need to go find another line of work. And we've seen a response, really, from Garrett Mitchell the last month. We've got a good month of a sample size of Garrett Mitchell scalding baseballs and also adjusting his approach at the plate.
No question. I think that's one thing where you see him at the plate making some nice adjustments here tonight. He got that breaking ball, was able to drive the ball to the ballpark. But, you know, he's going up there having good at-bats. Yeah, they do make some good pitches. He's still vulnerable sometimes with the pitch up in the inner part of play on him. They sometimes get away with it or break him ball down. But his approach has been so good. He understands the strike zone. He understands what he needs to do. Learning how to put the ball in play. And I think it's so important. He's come so far. You don't say anything about his defense. His defense is as good as anybody's in baseball. He's fast. He can run. He's one of those five-tool guys that can go out and do so many things. But seeing Garrett Mitchell come climbing the ladder a little bit, playing more this year, being a part of this ball club is really good to see, because everybody's been waiting for him to take that next step. He's done it this year. And as far as Bryce Terang, you don't have to say too much, because you just watch him play. He's one of the best in baseball. Each and every gives you those good at bats, extremely good on the defense. And, you know, you talk about guys that come up through this organization. I remember Terang when he first came up. What were they going to do with him? Were you going to make a shortstop? Where was he going to play? Boy, I'll tell you what, he settled in at second base and he's done pretty good. He's probably, like I said before, probably one of the best second basemen in all of baseball.
You know, when I look at it for Terang, that off day on Sunday, we speculated about it on Saturday. You know, what are the Brewers going to do with Bryce, given they had Christopher Sanchez going Sunday, left on left. He struggled this year against lefties, hadn't had a day off in over a month. Murph said, you know what, I'm going to give him the day off. And he revealed today, yeah, Bryce did not want the day off. He came into my office and wanted to get into the lineup. And nonetheless, Bryce, you know, I asked him about it today. He said, hey, just be where your feet are. Be ready to go. And today, bang, he goes on base three times, an infield single, a home run, and a walk as well. And for Bryce, yeah, he's in a little bit of a cold stretch right now. To be down to 266, to be down to an 855 OPS. I mean, we're really splitting hairs here on what has been a fabulous start to the season for Bryce Terang.
Yeah, there's no question. You look at what he's been able to do. Yeah, he goes through spurts, and I think that's one thing that a lot of players do. You look at how the season goes, and you get those little ups and downs, and it seems like it happens with everybody. It looks like now he's just in that little spurt, but then, you know, like you said, Murph gives him the off day on Sunday, comes back today on base three times, hits the ball out of the ballpark, gives you those good at-bats, plays that strong defense that you need to do. It's good to get that day off, and Murph seems to understand. He understands his personality, and he understands when these guys are going through a little bit too much and when to give him that day off. I thought it was a great time to get him a day off on Sunday, especially when you had a pitcher like Sanchez pitching. So he got that day off, came back strong, and was a big part of this ball game win tonight.
And to kind of go back to Garrett for a moment here, too, before we talk about the rest of the offense and just how the Brewers are looking right now, as they're off to the best start in franchise history through 70 games to this point in the year. They are 44-26. We've mentioned the date of demarcation before. We'll mention it again. May 14th, the finale against the San Diego Padres. Garrett, since that day, it's 23 games, so there's not. It's mostly everyday play. In his last 23 games, he's hitting .333. His OPS is over 1,000. His on-base is .388. His slugging is .615. He's got 13 extra base hits in that time, including today his fourth homer in that time. And it feels like every time he's making contact, it is scalded. Now, of course, as we've talked about plenty of times, when Garrett's making contact, right? It's about balancing the strikeouts and balancing the aggression. Hey, by the way, didn't strike out tonight. By the way, when Garrett is swinging at pitches in the zone, he's back to a league average contact rate, meaning maybe back in April when he was really swinging, missing a ton and having a 44% strikeout rate, that's come back down to 32% right now. And I know that's not great, Augie, but again, he's replacing those strikeouts with either balls in play or walks, and good things happen when you're doing damage on the pitches you're supposed to do damage on, like he did on a hanging 2-1 slider today.
Yeah, you know, it just seems like now he's starting to get that understanding. You know, guys go through transition in their career and, you know, trying to find themselves. And I think the one thing he understands is he does want to cut the strikeouts down. He wants to try to figure out what can he do to make himself more better on the offensive side of the ball. Yeah, he gets on base with the walks. He does that, does a great job at that. But I'll tell you what, the way he attacked that breaking ball today, hanging breaking ball, got it in the zone he liked, and he just drove that ball. He really attacked well. That's what's good to see. Looking for pitches that in a hitting zone that you like to hit and putting a good swing on it. He did that tonight.
I think the Brewers are getting excited about what they could have here with Garrett, understanding he's on the field, right? Garrett, generally, when he's on the field, he's always performed his career, with the exception of the beginning of last season. Really, every time he's on the field, Garrett has done something to help the Brewers win games. And now he's at 60 games this season, 9 away from matching a career high, which he set back in 2024. And I'm getting excited about what this can mean for the Brewers and their offense moving forward. 855-616-1620, 855-616-1620. Brewers win 2-1. We got to talk about Robert Gasser. We talk about the rest of the bullpen as well, as Ashby vultures another win right here on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ. Come along here for Brewers Extra Innings with Jerry Augustine. I'm Dom Catronio. A couple of texts that have rolled in here. Alex from Oshkosh, great win for the Brewers. I have faith that Cooper Pratt will get his first hit here soon, eventually. Future is bright for Pratt, and win number 10 for Ashby. This was a big win because of the struggles at the plate, going just 4 for 28 and 9 batters being held hitless. Actually lucky for the two homers. Hey, ball went over the fence. They scored more runs than the other team. No questions asked. That's how I view this one. And then also nice to see Garrett healthy for more than 2 months. Good question there as well. Good thought there too. We'll get to some more texts, get to some more thoughts. As today, we also got to talk about, hey, the Brewers held the Guardians to just one run. Now, as we begin this segment, Augie, we do have to point out that three of the main pieces of offense for the Guardians are currently out, and two of the three are on the injured list. In Angel Martinez, Jose Ramirez, and Chase DeLauder might be on the injured list by the end of the week, but those are three key pieces that they did not have today. Nonetheless, I look at what the Brewers did, and specifically what Robert Gasser did today, to work into the sixth inning. Mostly efficient, aside from that one pair of walks in the second inning. He was attacking the zone again. I feel like something clicked after he got that clutch double play to end the second inning for him. What did you see from Gasser?
I agree. I think they looked like early in the ball game. And, you know, when we talk about Gasser, we talk about the slurve or the cutter, curveball, whatever you want to call it. He sometimes throws it too big. I think he wants to throw it to his zone. He gets it there and he really wants to throw that pitch and he tries to go to his zone and he sweeps it a little bit too much and it gets out of the zone. It just seemed like after the first few innings, he didn't have that great command. He was trying to go to both sides, just couldn't quite get it. But after that second inning, he got himself a little bit of trouble, just missing on the outside with that sweeper a little bit and on the inside part of the plate. And then after Chris talked to him, I thought he made some really good pitches getting out of that. After that, he seemed to get dialed in, both sides of the plate, using his breaking ball effectively, and when he needed to, elevating the fastball. I thought he threw some really good fastballs up in the zone, and it just seems when he can make get that breaking ball down and get hitters looking on the pitch down in the zone, he elevates that fastball, it's pretty effective.
You know, with Robert, I think the two things that come to mind for me. Number one, making sure that he finishes his delivery. Had a good conversation with Chris Hook about his mechanics and how you can see the difference in how he delivers the baseball with his head placement, and that, you know, he was consistent with his misses pretty much always being to the glove side, Augie. And I think what that indicates to me is he is putting an emphasis on his mechanics and on the finish of the pitch. You can describe this a lot better than I could as the lefty that you are, but I think that when I see Gasser missing glove side, quite frankly, that's a signal of, okay, that's the miss that's supposed to happen when you're making an adjustment.
Yeah, you said it exactly right. I think there's sometimes when he has some mistakes there, and that's why I talked about it. Sometimes he gets that sweeper or curveball slide or whatever you want to call it. He comes around the ball. And anytime you come around the ball, especially come from the slot that he comes at, that ball's going to sweep. It's going to spin. It's almost like it's going to be too big, and you release it, you have a bad release point on it. But it looks like that when he gets it on, when he stays on top of the ball, even though he's a low three-quarter guy, he's got to keep his hand on top of the ball. When he stays on top of the ball is much sharper. It's quicker. He's able to locate it to both sides of the plate like he wants to. He can get a good downward plane that he needs to have, and it becomes a lot more effective. So I think really important from him, maybe that's one thing that maybe Chris said, hey, you know what? You're getting a little flat on the ball. You're getting behind the ball. Let's get on top of the ball. Let's stay on top of the ball. Let's get some good finish, and that'll make a big difference. And it sure did. He threw the ball very well after that second inning.
So 5 2/3 innings total for Robert Gasser. Just two hits allowed, no runs, two walks. They were back-to-back batters, and then struck out five in this contest. And not a lot was hit hard. He got two key double plays turned behind him in the second and the third innings. He exited after a leadoff single in the sixth, got the next two batters out. They brought in the righty Kunal for Rhys Hoskins, and Kunal was able to escape that sixth inning. Otherwise, with the Brewers up 1-0 at the time. Otherwise, who's hot in this bullpen? I just want to continue to shower praise on Trevor Megill right now, because he has taken the reins of the closer's role once again, and he has got control of it. He gets his ninth save of the season. He goes 1-2-3, no funny business at all in the top of the ninth inning. I know he gave up two runs in Colorado. That's Colorado for you. That was his last blown save, and it's actually ironic. That's his only blown save since that blow-up against the Blue Jays back on 4-1-4 day. So overall, since those back-to-back blips on the radar there against the Nationals and the Blue Jays, he has been on a very good stretch of whether it be closing, whether it be 7th, 8th innings, whether it be whatever his role may have been. But since April 16th, 21 innings, 31 punch-outs, but here's the best number. Just four walks in his last 21 innings for Trevor Megill.
Yeah, you gotta give him credit where his credit is due. He's really been able to utilize the fastball. But everything with Trevor Megill, when he can throw that ball, he throws what he sometimes refers to it as his short curveball, that hard curveball, not a big looping curveball. When he gets that over the plate, he's very effective, because then he can come back with that bigger breaking ball down in the zone. I think the whole effectiveness with him is being able to, I sure like the fastball that he throws in on right-handers, away from left-handers, up in his zone. The ball looks like it's got some good life on it. It's going to be throwing the ball about right around that 99 to 100 level and putting it in good locations. But I'll tell you what, his success, it seems like, since he's come back, is that hard and soft breaking ball. Throwing that good hard breaking ball, throwing it for a strike, short break, good and hard, quick at the end, tough to pick up, and then being able to come back when he wants to with that bigger curveball down in the zone. I think that's his trademark. When he can get those pitches over the plate, he's pretty effective and tough to hit.
When I look at what the Brewers' bullpen is supposed to look like now, Ashby giving up a run after a wild pitch and a couple of walks in today's game, that's not on that list. But nonetheless, it looks something like this, where the starter goes about six innings or so, maybe a little longer, and you have some combination of Ashby, Ribe, Megill. Maybe you only need two innings out of them. Maybe you can bounce things around. But this is how it's supposed to look, right, where you get a bridge man, the closer for the starter. That was Kunal today. Ashby, Uribe, Megill combined. I mean, that's the ideal situation. You can't do it for every game, of course, but when the Brewers win games in this fashion, they sort of make it look easy, only allowing one run in the entire game.
Yeah, they sure do. You take what looks like a little bit on Aaron Ashby is, boy, they really, there seems like baseball today, the last few games, they're really making him throw that breaking ball for a strike. If he gets ahead of you 1-2 or 0-2 or in a zone where he's got two strikes on you, he throws that breaking ball, it's devastating. But at times he throws it, sometimes overthrows it, gets away from him. He's had some problems with that. Same thing with Uribe tonight. Threw that breaking ball, kind of held on a bit long. That's kind of that same situation, Dom, where you try to overthrow it and you get behind the ball rather than get on top of it. See Uribe come back tonight and sort of get on top of it, throw it very well. Same thing with Aaron. He gets ahead and he gets on top of that good breaking ball. It just breaks real late. It's big and it's devastating and it's hard to hit because he stays on top and he can throw it for a strike when he gets on top and he throws it right. And the same thing goes for Uribe. Tonight, he threw a couple of wild pitches with that breaking ball. Boy, he came back and he was able to throw it a couple of times and got a strikeout to end the inning tonight.
Yeah, the bullpen, when it looks like it's supposed to. Now, there was a little bit of a stressful eighth inning there for Uribe, but he got the job done nonetheless. Who's Hot, Who's Cold is brought to you by Sider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical. Wisconsin homeowners, are you thinking about a new cooling system? Sider makes it easy. You can get a virtual quote in under 10 minutes, and it's right from home with short and long-term financing options. Call or visit Sider.com today, Sider.com. Families helping families since 1912. Hey, we haven't even mentioned, hey, one of the top prospects got called up. Cooper Pratt, he's here in the show. Didn't have an eventful Major League debut today, but we'll break down Cooper Pratt's arrival to the Brewers and what it means for the crew after this on 620 WTMJ. 44 dubs. How about that? Through 70 games, Brewers remaining comfortably in first place right now here in the National League Central. Take an eye on the Cardinals. They held on. They beat the Padres 3-2. Text that rolled in here. Gasser has some good stuff. He got shelled early in the year, but he needs some confidence back. And tonight, hopefully, is the night. That is a good call there from the 715. With Jerry Augustine, I'm Dom Catronio. Cooper Pratt, he has arrived. We talked about it all month long, saying one of these guys is going to be up on the end of the month. Here it is. Cooper Pratt. The corresponding move was Luis Ranjifo being designated for assignment. Now, some folks, one folks on the text line saying, well, wouldn't moving Ranjifo to the 15-day IL been an insurance policy? Well, you got to come up with an injury. And honestly, quite frankly, I'm sure Ranjifo probably wants to go find another job somewhere. And I think, you know, I'll put my hand up. I thought Ranjifo was going to have a bounce back here in Milwaukee. I thought it was a great fit, low pressure, you know, due for a bounce back, switch hitter, played defense decently well last couple of seasons with Anaheim. Didn't work out. It happens. Sometimes just the player isn't what you thought it was, or he didn't mesh like you thought it was. It happens. No one is to blame for it, but I'll put my hand up and say I thought he was going to have a bounce back. He didn't, but nonetheless, Cooper Pratt has arrived. He went 0-for-3 today. He had an error, which is sort of ironic given how much we praise his glove, Augie. But nonetheless, a big league debut for a 21-year-old does not set the stage for what the entire career is going to look like for Cooper. I still see some ingredients there that I like.
Yeah, you know, you get that first day you come up to big leagues, your mind is working in about 50 different directions. You got family coming in. You want to do everything. You want to do a great job and have be exciting and win the ball game and all the things that you have to as a player. You can just imagine things going through his mind as the game was going on. I'm playing short. Oh, I got to make the plays. And it's a tough day. It's a really tough day. And I thought he did a good job. Yeah, he had the error. There's no question he had the error. But I'll tell you what, just to watch him, the way he performs on the field, where he carries himself, he turned that double play. That was a nice job he did on that. And so, we got a lot to look forward to. And getting out, getting past that first day is sometimes a little tough, and he got through it. But watching him at the end of the game, when after the Brewers won, going and being in a little huddle with the rest of the infielders, he had a big smile on his face. That tells you it all. He's in the big leagues.
Yeah, I think the conversations with Cooper before the game today and listening to him speak and the confidence and the presence that he carries himself with, he expects to win. And I think that's the first thing that jumps out to me. And I'm not sitting here saying Cooper's going to one day hit 25 homers a season and have 40 doubles and, you know, all that stuff. Offensively, he still has plenty of room to grow for his offensive profile. But the reason why the Brewers believe in a guy like Cooper and believe in that profile is the off-the-field makeup stuff. It's the off-the-field passion, the drive, the ability to get better. He's 21 years old. I mean, think about it. How much, if you're listening now, how much your body changes as a young man from age 21 to 26, right? He has still got a lot of not only learning to do, but growing to do. He will get stronger. He'll learn at the big league level. And again, we have to just preach over and over and over again. Success does not happen overnight for most of these guys. Bryce Terang had a 585 OPS in his rookie year as a 23-year-old. So I'm not trying to say, oh, he's going to have a really tough time. But here's the thought. Reminder, he is younger than Bryce Terang at the time of his big league debut. He is on a playoff-bound team. He is playing a premium position at shortstop. Let's give the kids some grace, and let's add them all up at the end of the year. That's all I'm asking for.
I agree. I think that's what you do. And I think the big thing through this is you know, when the Brewers look and bringing up Pratt, and they say, boy, when were I going to bring up? A lot of people have heard that, hey, they wanted to get through the middle of June and bring him up to the big leagues. But I'll tell you what, I think bringing him up is important. I think it's good to see what he can do. But you know what? One thing he has, and it's really going to help him, the guy just on the other side of the base on him, Bryce Terang, who's gone through a lot of what Cooper Pratt's going to be going through. That kind of, that education process, that process of being able to ask questions and keep staying in the game and doing the things you have to do to get better each and every day. Just having that educational part with someone who's gone through that, same thing, right on the other side of the base, which is usual, just like some of the other players that they have on this ball club. But I think that's going to play huge for the development of Cooper Pratt on the major league level.
Yeah, I'm excited to watch it more. And again, I think right now the gap between AAA and the show is the biggest it's ever been, and it's quite frankly only getting bigger given how some teams approach AAA. And look, Cooper has been playing really well down in AAA the last month or so. He even admitted today in his press conference, I was pressing a little bit that first month after I had signed the deal, wanted to be somebody that I wasn't. And once I kind of let that loose and started to play my game, he's got nearly a 300 average over his last month of games. He's got most of his homers in that time. His walks and strikeouts are more walks and strikeouts over this last month period, too. So that's the guy that we're going to see, a guy that has elite strike zone discipline. He'll run into a few homers. I know he's a big guy. He'll get stronger. But his ability to find the barrel and have a hit tool is more important to him than have a power tool, which will develop as he grows in the big leagues because, quite frankly, the Brewers going to give him runway, man. I mean, Joey Ortiz and David Hamilton will be in a loose platoon at third base. And then maybe you give one of those guys a day at short when we want to give Cooper a day. But they're going to let him run, and I'm all here for it here, Augie.
I agree. I think when you bring a guy up, let's let him go. Let's play. Let's go and let him do exactly what he's doing on the AAA level. And I think what you're going to see him do is, you know, we always talk, it's one of the common things we talk about, the game of baseball, slowing the game down, let the game come to you a little bit. And I think as he gets in and gets that initial couple of weeks into the game, he's going to have that game slow down. It's going to find out that, you know what, slowing the game down helps me understand what I have to do to become a better ball player. So he has the immense talent. The Brewers know that he's going to be a star of the future, and now he's going to get that opportunity. I agree with you, Dom. Get him out there, let him play, and let's see what happens.
Well, he gets the big rig tomorrow, probably, Gavin Williams, who's a heck of an arm. He'll have a tough task to try to get his first major league hit. Well, Jerry Augustine, appreciate you as always. You brought another W with you. Try to make it 45 with tomorrow's postgame show. Thanks, Augie.
Yeah, I'll be traveling tomorrow, so Craigor is going to be stepping in for me. But let's keep it going. We're playing good baseball. This Cleveland team has got some good pitching. Tomorrow night's going to be a great challenge for the Brewers. Let's get this series win.
All right, love it. Jerry Augustine joining us on 620 WTMJ. That is our buy or sell. It's brought to you by Tony Wendorf & Associates. If you're looking to buy or sell a home, trust Tony Wendorf & Associates, one of the top real estate teams in Wisconsin, empowered by Keller Williams. They bring faith, family, and a red carpet experience to every home deal. Step up to the plate with a winning team behind you. WendorfTeam.kw.com. Now, it wasn't all sunshine and lollipops. We've got to talk about, you know, a puzzling decision. What's going on with Uribe? What's going on with that pinch hit? Why can't Andrew Vaughn face righties? We'll give you what Murph said. We'll try to break it down ourselves on 620 WTMJ. Got to do a player of the game. Could be Gasser. Could be Garrett for the go-ahead homer. Could be Terang. I mean, those were the two guys that had the offense tonight. Maybe we'll give them co-player of the game for Mitchell and Terang. It's brought to you by International Autos Group. If you're looking for, just like the game's MVP, I should say, you can drive into summer style. If you're looking for select in-stock models, you can save up to 15 grand. Visit iamilwaukee.com. International Autos, where ordinary needs to be extraordinary. We'll hear from Garrett Mitchell here in just a moment. Now, before we get there, there was a moment that created some tension on social media and an interesting decision by Murph. To set stage, bottom of the sixth inning, the Brewers have runners on the corners with two outs, and Jake Bowers due up against the righty Colin Holderman. Now you may be wondering, why do they go to a righty? Holderman dominates both sides really well. effective with the breaking ball, especially against lefties. It's a sub-160 batting average, sub-500 OPS against both sides. He's been one of their best relievers this season. So it did not matter lefty or righty of what you want to go up there. Now, Bowers, with two strikes, gets hit by a pitch. So it loads the bases for Andrew Vaughn. So you think, no, he's called back. Sal Frelick goes in. He ends up grounding out to end the inning. Now, if Andrew Vaughn grounds out the end of the inning, it's no one bats an eye. It's no big deal. But because you made the move, pitch hitting, everyone wants to be revisionist. Oh, he didn't get it done. Here's the deal. I am also in the boat of just sort of perplexed why Andrew Vaughn isn't getting a lot of at-bats against righties. And I know the numbers are not necessarily lopsided, but they are certainly starting to showcase something here where he has had less success against righties. Now, let me hit the timeout button here. Less success means has multiple definitions. Is it damage or is it just singles that you want? Now, granted, 274 batting average, I am never going to complain about a 274 batting average. Lefties, it's ridiculous. We know that about Andrew Vaughn. But I'm at the point kind of right now where, look, I need the best hitters to be hitting with runners in scoring position. And Sal, I know he's had a weird start to his season. I know he's going to find a way to turn things around and be a useful piece on this bench because he's starting to get relegated to fourth outfielder territory right now. Hey, I just don't think that was the situation for success. I just don't think Sal was put into a position to succeed. Granted, Andrew Vaughn at that point was 0-2. I was very perplexed. Now, Murph's reasoning, you'll hear from Murph directly when he answered the question too, but he just sort of talked about the fact that he used his manager skills there. He just said, I had a feeling that Sal would fit that situation well, given how much spin Andrew Vaughn struggles with and Holderman dominates with spin. That's something that we considered. I thought Sal would come through there. Hey, he didn't. We all move on. He gave his reasoning. I gave mine. I wouldn't have done it, but nonetheless, Sal was coming in defensively anyway. But again, if he's coming in defensively, just keep it defensively and let Andrew Vaughn get that at-bat, in my opinion. And if he grounds out, so be it. Let's let him get some sample here against some tough righties because you're not going to do that in a game in October. That's how I feel. So it is June. I understand that. And I think Sal's going to be fine. But at the same time, I want to see Andrew Vaughn get more at-bats against righties. I hope that makes sense. That's just sort of how I view things right now. Now, the highlight of today's game, of course, was Garrett Mitchell going yard. He caught up with Josh Maurer after today's victory and having the go-ahead home run. Here's Josh and Garrett earlier tonight.
Garrett is kind enough to be sticking around downstairs to chat with us about it. Hi, Garrett. Thanks so much.
Yeah, of course.
Take us through that swing. You got a breaking ball. I know when we've had you on in the past, you say, I love breaking balls like that.
Yeah, that sounds exactly like what I would say. But I was, just leading off the inning there, just trying to look for something to get, just a good pitch to get on base. Not really trying to do too much. Obviously not trying to hit a homer there, but got a couple sliders, saw a couple of them early in the count. So when I got the third one, I didn't miss it.
Did you realize it went 440 estimated feet?
I didn't. I know I hit it well. I saw it on the board after, but yeah, that was a good one.
Things are clicking for you, and at least if you look at the results, things seem to be clicking. I guess my question is, are they clicking? Does it feel like that for you at the plate these last few weeks?
There's some good days and some bad days. I mean, like, I think it's just about the process, right? Like, when we talked earlier in the year, I'm not trying or doing anything different. I show up the same every single day, same routine, same process. I think it's just as you continue to get into the season and as you get comfortable, and you know, for me, having some ups and downs and meaning just like not being on the field, it's hard to get in a rhythm like that. So as we continue to pile up games here, I think it's just more me being comfortable more than anything else. So not really trying to do too much, just trying to go up there and put together team at-bats, do anything I can to help the team win.
And you certainly did that tonight. Brewers beat Cleveland 2-1 as we visit with Garrett Mitchell. The big story coming into this game was Cooper Pratt making his Major League debut. Did it make you think back in 2022 when you were coming up? Did you have kind of flashbacks when you saw the hoopla surrounding Cooper coming up here tonight?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's a day that you'll never forget, right? Like, it's a day you dream of your whole entire life. It kind of takes you through the small moments, like in the backyard when you're a kid, kind of playing like the 3-2, two outs, you know, bases loaded. Just like, again, it's a child's game, right? Like you have these aspirations and these goals, and to see them come to fruition, there's not a better feeling. And being able to see him just be out there today, you could just tell he was soaking it in, right? It's his first game in the big leagues, and he's going to have a lot more of those.
And by the way, you're not able to see this right now, but I'm looking out of our broadcast window. Cooper just came back out to the field. His family and friends are down there by that first base dugout. This is a cool moment for the entire Pratt family as we speak. Garrett, I got one more for you. Robert Gasser tonight, 5 2/3 scoreless innings. Well, at least it was a great start, and he didn't get the win, but he let your team have the opportunity to win. What'd you think of the way that Robert threw the ball?
He looked absolutely amazing tonight. I mean, again, that's nothing new for Robert either. Like, he's done that before, and he's done it in the big leagues, and he's had success. So it's great to see him look like he's getting a little bit more comfortable and a little bit more into a rhythm. I know he would tell you the same thing, and it's, again, win or loss, like going out there and competing and doing whatever you can to help the team win is what it's about, right? And so he put together a really quality start tonight, and the bullpen picked it up and finished it off.
Yep, Garrett Mitchell bringing it in as always. He's just a charismatic guy, man. He's really fun to talk to. Let's hear from another fun guy to talk to. How about Pat Murphy? He's up next. Then some highlights, and we say goodnight on 620 WTMJ. Brewers win. Back tomorrow, same time, same place, 6:40 first pitch. It will be Brandon Sproat getting the ball for the Crew against Gavin Williams. He was rained out for his start on Sunday, so he gets pushed to tomorrow for the Brewers series. I'm Dominic Catronio. Let's hear from the manager, Pat Murphy, opening up with some jokes.
That's a vulture win for Ashby, right? He's got 9 good ones, but that was a vulture. McGill was great. That's a great outing for McGill.
Has he kind of rounded into form?
I think so. I mean, it's 10 in a row. I don't know how many in a row that he's been really effective and throwing the ball good. That's the most important thing. And we could interchange him. Uribe hasn't been used as much. And, you know, we just try to match it up pretty much. But it looks like McGill can handle that last inning as well as anyone because he can face righties and lefties. So, but there'll be times when Uribe's there and even Ashby. Who knows? Chad Patrick proved he could do it too, so he's had a little hiccup lately, but he'll get through that.
Because of the position you guys are in, if you're starting pitching, how nice is it to see Robert go out there and
do what he did? Yeah, I mean, you know, we could have left him in too, but he hasn't been that far, and, you know, today's game you're playing to win. You're not playing to get distance out of pitchers and things like that, so we played to win. Luckily got the win.
How was he good? What did you see from him?
Yeah, I mean, right-handers, he had that fastball up and away, the top rail, and he's able to execute that, get ahead in the count, and then execute that a lot on righties. He was effective against righties, you know, and some lefties, but walked too many. How many did he walk? 4? 3? Only 2? Okay. All right. Yeah, he attacked the zone pretty good. Handled righties with that kind of up and away fastball and on the top rail. And his off-speed stuff was decent, you know. And it has to come along for him to be a mainstay in our rotation. It has to come along too.
What's been the biggest difference?
He's been 3-2. He was 3 ball counts on a number of batters and ran his pitch count way up. But he's getting better, and he's getting more confident, you know.
I was just going to ask what the difference is, but it's still probably not perfect, but in the strike zone.
Yeah, he's in the strike zone more. Still not, you know, still not a guy that's locating the ball like he needs to, but threw some good cutters. He's gaining in confidence. In his defense, he knows he can rely on. And William did a great job with him tonight.
Always wants to shout out William Contreras. And, yeah, there were some really good stuff that Robert Gasser did tonight. So let's relive it. Coming up next, highlights on 620 WTMJ.
Ready for this?
Out of here!
This?
Brought it back! Ho, ho, ho!
And this?
It is gone!
Time for tonight's highlights.
Opener with the Guardians. Cleveland in town with Stephen Vogt, old friend. Robert Gasser getting the start for the Crew against Slade Ciccone, right-hander on the other side. Of course, the headlines today, Cooper Pratt's major league debut, and he got one of his firsts out of the way in the second.
Fry and Manzardo, the runners at second and first, respectively. 2-2 pitch to Stephen Kwan. Here comes Gasser, and a ground ball hit to short. Pratt goes to second, one on to first, double play. First assist in the big leagues. Pratt rolls 2-6-4-3, and Gasser gets himself out of the jam.
Game was scoreless through three innings of play. He did also knock out his first throwing error as a Brewer, but he was left stranded in the fourth inning. In the bottom of the fourth, Bryce Terang continues to get back on track. Vote for him right now for the All-Star game.
Three balls and two strikes on Terang. The pitch and a fly ball out to right center field. This is well struck. Way back, and it is gone. Bryce Terang, his 11th home run of the season. And the Brewers on the board. It is 1-0 Milwaukee.
11 homers for Bryce. How about it for him? Go vote for him. I'm serious. Go vote for him to the All-Star game. 1-0 Brewers. They would hold that lead for majority of the game. Robert Gasser is done in the sixth inning after a runner on first base, then a double by Reese Hoskins, but Kunal was able to get out of the jam. The Brewers loaded the bases in the sixth but failed to score, and then immediately the Guardians respond with an RBI single from Gabriel Arias. It's a 1-1 ball game as we move to the bottom of the seventh inning. If you want good things to happen, hit the ball hard. Garrett Mitchell obliged.
Gattis is 2-1 to Mitchell. He is a fly ball to right center field. This one's way back there. Bye-bye, baseball! Garrett Mitchell unties it in the seventh. A solo shot, his fifth of the season. And the Brewers lead it 2-1.
1-12 off the bat for Garrett Mitchell. In the eighth, the Brewers try to keep that 2-1 victory advantage. Ashby walked the first batter he faced. Then a couple of wild pitches from Abner Uribe, but he walked the tightrope.
One ball, two strikes. Runners on the corners for Cleveland in the eighth. 1-2 pitch. Struck him out with a slider. Abner Uribe can put one in the holster as he strands a pair of Guardians on the corners to end the top of the eighth.
How about it? So all that's left is hand the ball to Trevor McGill for the top of the ninth inning and a one-run lead.
Ready to work again. 3-2 on Arias. McGill's pitch. Curveball, check swing, he went. Ball game over. Ryan Addison, the home plate umpire, called it himself. And this one belongs to the Brewers. They win it by a 2-1 final. Trevor McGill picks up the save. And the Brewers can go for a series win tomorrow.
How about it? Brewers get the victory without the craziest offensive day. Just a couple of homers. They get two runs on four hits, one error. They left five. Guardians, one run on four hits, one error. They left seven, and they went 1-for-11 with runners in scoring position. The winning pitcher, ding-da-da-ding, of course, it's Aaron Ashby. He is 10-0, first in baseball to 10 wins. We need to kill the pitcher win. The loss goes to Hunter Gattis for that hanging slider to Garrett Mitchell. Saved to Trevor McGill, his ninth of the year. It took 2 hours and 28 minutes in front of 30,025 here at the ballpark this evening. Now, this homestand will conclude on Thursday, but same time, same place tomorrow. 6:40 is the first pitch. We'll be on the air at 6:05 with the On Deck Show built by Menards. I'll be with you after the game one more time. As then on Thursday, it will be a 1:10 first pitch. No live post-game show, but we will have a taped Brewers Weekly. We'll have a breakdown of Jacob Mazurowski's mechanics, what's gone so well for him. His next outing is to be Friday against the Atlanta Braves. Also, this week, the Brewers have a 6:15 first pitch in Atlanta on Friday, a 3:10 first pitch on Saturday, and then an earlier 12:35 first pitch on Sunday. Those are all Central Standard times. But tomorrow, 6:40, as Brandon Sproat goes up against Gavin Williams. Congratulations to Cooper Pratt and the family. Excited to see what his career can become. Today was day one of hopefully many, many more to come in the show. Our producer has been Matt Yazel. I'm Dom Catronio. Brewers win 2-1. Signing off, saying good night from Milwaukee. Until next time, keep on swinging.